the time at all, I feel comfortable in saying, has preached this sermon, a shade of it. And as this past week, I took this old sermon that I first preached maybe 25 years ago, and I put it in PowerPoint. We're going to deal with the most important question that a person could ever ask. What must I do to be saved? I recognize a great responsibility rests upon my shoulders in dealing with a question of such great importance. It is a Bible question and it demands a Bible answer. Souls of men and women hang in the balance between heaven and hell, and many times it's dependent on whether or not they get the right answer to this Bible question, what must I do to be saved? In dealing with a question of such importance, there are many, many attributes that come into play, and you cannot leave one single one out. You have to have the love of God and the mercy of God and the goodness of God. You can't leave any of these out. If you left the love of God out, there would be no salvation. If you left the love of God out, there would be no gift of the Son. And if you left the Son out, there would be no shed blood that washes away our sins. So it takes all these attributes and others to make up salvation. To sustain physical salvation, I must eat, digest my food, sleep, get exercise, drink fluids, and breathe oxygen. And I cannot leave one single attribute out. If I left drinking fluids out and kept all the others, I'd die. If I left eating out and digesting out and kept all the others, I'd die. If I left breathing oxygen out and tried to keep all the others, well, I wouldn't last long. I would die. What must I do to be saved? We want to examine every word in this sentence. The very first word, what? That tells me something needs to be done. Now, what? It's not what may I do or what could I do or what should I do. The strongest word in the English language is used here. What must is not what must my mama do or any church that I may be affiliated with says I must do. But this question is personal. It belongs to the individual. What must I, Ricky L. Kimball, not what must I feel, not what must I think, but what must I do? You can't take the do out. What must I do to be saved? This question is both active and passive. The passive part is my part. What must I do? The active part is God's part. What must I do that a kind and merciful God will save me? You asked an atheist this question, what must I do to be saved? They say, man, there is nothing after death. You asked a Muslim this question, what must I do to be saved? They'll tell you to believe in Allah and believe that Muhammad is the one and true prophet of Allah. You asked those in this community, what must I do to be saved? And you will receive a variety of different answers. I asked Jesus, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Mark 16:16, he tells us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus, did you say he that believeth is saved and later on he can be baptized if he wants to? No, sir. Did you say as a baby I should be baptized and then later on I can grow up and then I can believe? No, sir. Or did you say he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Now you have it just right. Let me show you the argument that's made against this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. See? Jesus says, he that believeth not shall be damned. Why didn't he say, if baptism is essential, why didn't he say, he that believeth not and is baptized not shall be damned? If I say, he that eateth and digesteth his food shall live, would I say, he that eateth not and digest his food not shall die? No. I just simply say, he that eateth and digesteth his food shall live, but he that eateth not shall die. If you don't eat, there's nothing to digest. So it would be vain words to say, he that eateth not and digesteth not. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It would be vain and useless words to say, he that believeth not and is baptized not. Because if you don't believe, you cannot be scripturally baptized. If you don't eat, you cannot digest your food. There's three accounts in the New Testament, and all three accounts is in the book of Acts, where this question, the most important question, is asked. What must I do to be saved? And I tell you from the very beginning, as we look at these questions, three times the same question was asked, and three times a different answer is given. So, should we just go ahead and conclude from the very beginning of this sermon that we cannot get a Bible answer to a Bible question? It's asked three times and three different answers is given. No, sir. Because all three answers are the same answer. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said unto him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all thy house, and thou shalt be saved. That's the first account we're going to note. A second account is in Acts 2 on the first day of church. They interrupted Peter's sermon and said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And they was told to repent. We've had the same question asked twice, but got two different answers. A third time is in Acts 9. When the Lord appeared unto Saul or Paul on the road to Damascus, and Saul asked that question, Lord, what must I do? And he was told to arise and go to be told you what you must do. Ananias came to him by instructions of Jesus and answered the question for him. He was told to be baptized, washing away thy sin. If I stepped out in front of this church building and I asked you, how far is it to the store? And for the sake of this point, say it's 3 miles. Well, it's 3 miles, preacher man. Well, I believe on a good day, I can walk 3 miles. So I take off and I walk a mile and I come to a man out in his yard and I say, sir, how far is it to the store? He says, 2 miles. I've been asked the same question twice, and I've got two different answers. But I go on, and I walk another mile, and I come to another man out in his yard. I say, sir, how far is it to the store? He says, it's 1 mile. Man, I've asked the same question 3 times. You told me it was 3 miles. I walked a mile. He said, it's 2 miles. I walked another mile. He says, it's 1 mile. I've asked the same question 3 times. I've got 3 different answers. So shall I just throw my hands up and give up and say everybody around Humble, Texas is picking on me? No, because all three answers were the same answer, and that is the right answer. Y'all answered me when I stood in front of this church building from where I was standing when I asked the question, 3 miles. I walked a mile, the man answered me from where I was standing, 2 miles. I walked another mile, the man answered me again from where I was standing, 1 mile. You wouldn't tell me I was 3 miles from the store if you knew better when I was only 1 mile. Every answer was the same answer. It was the right answer. All was answering me from where I stood when I asked the question. Now let's go back and examine the question a little closer. In Acts 16, we have Paul and Silas. They have been beaten. They've been cast into the inner prison, and their feet and ankle bones are in stock. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and the doors were open, and everyone's stocks were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the doors were open, he drew his sword and would have taken his own life, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cries out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are hither." And he calls for a light and springs in and falls down before Paul and Silas, and he brings them out, and here it comes, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said unto him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all thy house, and thou shalt be saved." Paul, you just told this man to believe. Yes, sir. Paul, didn't you say in Romans 10, how can they believe on whom they have not heard? Yes, sir. You have just answered the Macedonia call, Paul. You was on the far side over in Asia Minor when you received the Macedonia call of a man pleading with you to come over to Macedonia and teach us the truth. You boarded a ship the next morning and you sailed across the Aegean Sea, and now the gospel has come to the city of Philippi for the first time, and you told that man to believe. Yes, sir. He cannot believe, you said, in whom he has not heard. Yes, sir. And the next verse, and they took him and taught him the word of the Lord. And the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, same straightway. In Acts 2, here is Pentecost, first day of church. These people are being convicted in their sins, and they cry out, "Men and brethren, tell me what we must do to be saved." And they was told to repent. Why didn't Peter tell those in Acts 2 the same thing that Paul told the jailer in Acts 16? Why didn't Peter say believe? He didn't. He said repent. Because the jailer was as me when I stood outside this building. I never walked the first mile to the store. You answered me from where I was standing. That's where the jailer was. He had to start at the beginning. He had to hear and believe. Those in Acts 2 was as I, after I had walked the first mile to the store, and I asked the same question again, and I was answered from where I was standing. Those in Acts 2 had already believed. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Now they're being answered from where they're standing as the question is being asked. You need to repent. And Saul, threatening, slaughtering, he felt and believed it is his God-appointed duty to annihilate the Christian race. He felt that there was a heretic religion and Jesus was an old heretic. And as he received orders from the council, and as he drew nearer to Damascus that he might find any of the way, he might bring them bound back to Jerusalem, Jesus appeared unto him in a light brighter than the noonday sun. Saul falls to the ground, and the voice of the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul asked, "Who forth art thou, Lord?" And Jesus answered, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And Saul, trembling, said, "What must I do?" He wanted to be saved. Why didn't Jesus tell him right there what he needed to do? Because the gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:7, has been handed over to earthly vessels. The great commission has already been given. The last will and testament of Jesus at his death came in effect, and the conditions are binding. And God is not a respecter of persons. He said, "Arise and go, and it be told you what you must do." He arose and went into Damascus to a house on a street called Straight. And the Lord tells an evangelist named Ananias, "You go and answer Saul's question, what he must do to be saved." And Ananias came unto Saul, He didn't say you need to believe. The jailer was told to believe. He didn't say you need to repent. Those in Acts 2 was told to repent. He's answering Saul's question from where he's standing. Saul was as I at the last mile marker. Saul has done journeyed the majority of the way to salvation, but he still was lost. And he was told to arise and be baptized, washing away thy sin. So all three times this question is asked, they all received the same answer, because they all was answered from where they were standing when they asked the question. All heard, all believed, all repented, all confessed, and God had it recorded, all were baptized. What must I do to be saved? This is the most important question that any human being could ever ask. Look at this. In these three accounts, when this question is asked, sometimes they're not told to believe. Sometimes they're not told to repent. Sometimes they're not told to confess. We don't have a recorded record of it. But each and every time, they was commanded to be baptized. And two out of the three times, it tells us why they was to be baptized. For remission of sins, Acts 2:38. To wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. Why did God have recorded in his Bible all three times they were baptized, even when he would leave other attributes out? Because God knew there was not a stumbling block to man to hear, to believe, to confess, to repent. God knew that it would be a stumbling block to be baptized. There are several attributes that I must keep to maintain physical salvation. I must drink fluids. I must eat and digest my food. I must breathe oxygen. And I cannot leave one single one out or I'll die. Same thing is true about spiritual salvation, friend. We must hear the gospel. We must believe it. We must turn our lives around or repent and make that great confession. And I cannot leave one single attribute out. And I must be baptized, washing away my sins, buried in water, as the Bible commands. Baptism in water for remission of sins is of equal importance to belief or repentance or confession. What must I do to be saved? Well, we've looked at that, and we've given book, chapter, and verse, and Bible examples to answer that question. If you have not been baptized, then you need to do that. Don't leave this building outside of Jesus. If you need the prayers of the church because your soul has become stained, don't leave this building unprepared to meet thy God. Please come while together we stand and sing.